2011, Stanford Christmas Day fire happened, and Don Roy called and said, "Michael, did you hear what happened?" She said there was a fire, and three children perished and their grandparents, and there was no mental health response for the 70 firefighters that were involved in that call. You know, it troubles me when I know that first responders commit suicide more frequently than the rest of the population. That's not okay. There are so many things that we need to understand about the different first responder communities, and only they can teach us.
Welcome to another edition of Responder Resilience, along with my co-host Bonnie Rumilly, LCSW, EMTB, and a newly retired fire captain. I'm David Dashinger. On this episode, we're going to be speaking with Michael Crouch, LCSW. He's a consultant in EMDR and a co-coordinator of the Fairfield County Trauma Response Team. We'll be talking about the topic, Is Trauma Treatable? We invite you to like and subscribe. Our YouTube channel is Responder Resilience. You can leave comments there if you like what we're doing. Also, we're on Facebook, Responder Wellness, Inc., bbsradio.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the podcast platforms. And go to our website, respondertv.com, for past episodes and guest info. We'll be right back to speak with Michael after this.
In this family, more of us die by our own hands than by the hazards of the job. In this family, up to a quarter of 911 dispatchers have symptoms of PTSD. In this family, our mental health and wellness are in crisis while responders are quietly suffering. In this family, many struggle with job-related stress, burnout, trauma, sleep disruption, substance abuse, and marriage problems. In this family, we can help the helpers with vital information and resources, resilience strategies, and success stories of overcoming the obstacles. In this family, no one is alone. Welcome to Responder Resilience with co-hosts retired Lieutenant David Dashinger, Dr. Stacy Raymond, and Bonnie Rumilly, LCSW, EMTB.
We are pleased to welcome Michael Crouch to this episode. A little bit about Michael. He is LCSW, graduated from Columbia University, and before that he had spent some time, 15 years or so, in theater and music. Michael has a private practice in Stamford, Connecticut, and he's the co-coordinator of the Fairfield County Trauma Response Team and a consultant in EMDR. As part of his work with the FCTRT, Michael is embedded with the Norwalk, Connecticut Fire Department, and Michael did a TED Talk in 2014 called The Cost of Courage on the Grit in the First Responder Community. Michael also testified in the defamation of character trial of radio show host Alex Jones versus Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, the parents of Jesse Lewis, a child who was murdered in the shooting at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012. A warm welcome to Michael.
Nice to see you, Michael.
Thank you. And, it's good to be here.
Yeah. And for my heart especially, thank you for testifying for them.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We wanted to talk a little bit, really basics, right? So how did you get interested in first responders? And then how did you get involved with forming the Fairfield County Trauma Response Team?
You know, it's interesting. I took my EMDR training in 2006. And then in 2011, the Stanford fire, Christmas Day fire happened. And Don Roy called and said, "Michael, did you hear what happened?" And I said, "No." And she said there was a fire and three children perished and their grandparents. And there was no mental health response for the 70 firefighters that were involved in that call, both in the rescue efforts and then the recovery operation. And so I called three therapists, and they all said yes. Susan Marcus, Jeanette Trujillo, and Bonnie Rich. They all said, Betty Rich, I apologize. And they all said yes. And the next day they went And at the debriefing to that fire for the Sanford Fire Department. And that was the start of the FCTRT. And that was in 2011. In fact, we were the Stamford TRT until a year later. And then Newtown happened, the shooting at Sandy Hook. And we expanded to Fairfield County.
And I know you are expanding as a team to a statewide basis, which is amazing.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
so some great things happening with the FCTRT, and it's exciting to see it unfolding like that. Can you talk a little bit more about your role with the TRT? What do you do and how do you do it?
I'm the co-coordinator along with Karen Alter Reed, Linda Rost, and Don Roy. You know, in fact, Dawn was the one who called me and said, "Michael, did you hear what happened on Christmas Day?" And then she called me again when Newtown happened.
And for anyone who's interested, Michael's TED Talk, he tells that story so profoundly about how the inception of the Fairfield County Trauma Response Team.
Our mission is to help first responders. And so we provide education. So we consistently do a lot of talks about trauma, how to recognize it in yourself and in your coworker. And then if there is an event, we show up.
And, traveling to different departments to give these presentations, as well as responding to critical incidents.
That's correct.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, and we've done most of the large fire departments in Fairfield County. A lot of the EMS services are starting to call on us as well. Law enforcement is more difficult to break into, but they're starting to recognize us as well.
Right. So, Michael, since we're colleagues and we spend a fair amount of time together, you've coined a term that I've heard you say many times, trauma is treatable. Can you talk about that term? And you do refer to it often, and I really want to pick your brain about what that means to you.
Okay. Shortly after the tragedy at Sandy Hook, there was a New York Times article that said that trauma is not treatable. And we know that it is. We use EMDR to treat it. And we know that, I'm not going to ever take away an event. It happens. But we can treat the negative beliefs that you carry around about yourself. After Sandy Hook, there was a law enforcement officer who said, "I didn't do enough." And he had a difficult time going back to work. In fact, he was off work for a while and had a difficult time being around his son. Until we did some EMDR, and within that treatment, he went from "I didn't do enough" to "I did what I could." And he remembered. And there was an expansion of that that story from the snapshots of all the bad stuff that he was looking at to, "Wait a minute, I did this, and then I did this, and then I did this." So the narrative became clearer for him. And so he went from "I didn't do enough" to I did what I could. And he could then be with his son. He could then go back to work. Right? And I just found out he was promoted to a sergeant, by the way, which is really cool.
That's great.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it is great. So that's what I mean. It is treatable. And to say it's not, it just, I think, makes people feel hopeless, number one.
I think that's why we love being trauma therapists, because we can help someone see the other side and not forget the event, but we can see their symptoms go away and their life come back. And I think that's partly why trauma work is so rewarding to you, me, the others on the team.
I think that's right.
Because ultimately we want to see our first responders, our civilians, everyone living their best life and being their best.
I think that's right. And we want them to know that, you know, I think why we focus on first responders is I know that during, if they clear out the stuff that they're carrying around, they're better at doing their jobs. And they're also better afterwards. Their retirement is better. That's important. And it, you know, it troubles me when I know that first responders commit suicide more frequently than the rest of the population. That's not okay. You know, and so we want them to know that there is something they should and can do. Right? And pay attention to your coworkers and yourself.
When it comes to occupational cancer exposures, members of the fire service are some of the highest risk professionals nationwide. Firefighters Against Cancer and Exposures, also known as the FACES Foundation, is an advocacy organization established to bring awareness, resources, and peer support to responders in need of additional help in battling potential cancer diagnoses or critical concerns. The FACES Foundation was established by a national alliance of first responders to offer supplemental resources for firefighters. One of its core initiatives is cancer awareness in the form of prevention and early detection, supporting vigilance about occupational cancers and cancer recurrence through our national Get Checked Now campaign. Also, the FACES Foundation publishes a major public catalog of resources for the many areas of need, including information on clinical and mental health therapies, benefits and compensations, funding sources and financial strategies. For more information, please visit the FACES website at facesusa.org.
Well, we touched on a couple of huge pieces, and one is, you know, it's almost like someone who's earlier in their career who is able to address some of these issues, their future self will be able to thank them for having taken care of it before it became, you know, overwhelming or carried over into retirement. And
absolutely right.
Yeah.
And you touched on a point, which is that those early responders, one, they're reachable, but two, they can be affected by what their older colleagues will say to them. And so it's critically important for the more experienced colleagues to say, take care of yourself, as opposed to suck it up. You know, we want them to know that take care of yourself at the start of your career.
Yes, yes, that can't be emphasized enough. And the other piece that you mentioned, and if you can expand on that, I think it'd be amazing, that the awareness piece for the individual who may be, you know, going through a traumatic response to something, starting to go down that spiral into depression, suicide, alcohol abuse, and also for the supervisors, the officers who are, you know, looking out for their members, to be, you know, what does it take for the, what are some of the signs that people need to be aware of to know it's time to take action?
Well, you know, trauma, number one, is frequently called a disorder of sleep. So are you sleeping? You know, are you more irritable? Are you drinking too much? Are you isolating, withdrawing? Those are things to pay attention to. And if any of those things are happening, there is help available. You know, I know a number of the departments are creating peer support teams. Reach out to them. Take care of yourself. And the peer support teams also know through their training that if they can't take care of something, that we're the next step. Right? And that refer them for therapy, and that we are confidential. We're not going to let anybody know that you called. That's that's critically important as well for them to know. Take care of yourselves and pay attention. Attunement, pay attention to your bodies. Are you sleeping? Are you eating too much or not enough? Are you drinking too much? Are you more irritable? All of those things are symptoms of trauma that you want to pay attention to. Are you avoiding driving past certain things or events?
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention.
Could you talk a little bit, Michael, about your journey to understanding trauma?
Okay.
and what it really means and takes to be a trauma-informed therapist?
Yeah, you know, I think all therapists would say, oh, yeah, I'm trauma-informed.
Right.
And I was one of those.
Right.
I was asked to talk a little bit about trauma before I was trauma-informed, before I started working with first responders in Stamford, Connecticut. And Dr. Mueller, who's a psychiatrist I work with, and myself were asked over to the Tully Center in Stamford, and there were 150 EMTs in that room. And there was a cardiologist and I think a gastroenterologist, and they knew so much about those medications and things. And so I got up to talk about trauma, thinking I knew what I was going to talk about. And one of the EMTs finally said, have you ever worked with an EMT? You know, and I had, but maybe two. And I didn't really know what I was talking about. And he just pointed that out to me. Right? And so then 2011 happened, and I started my work with really understanding that community. And they still, to this day, I continue to learn and grow, and so much that I have to learn and that I've learned about work with first responders. And the differences in that, you know, how a firefighter, how he or she do their jobs, what is traumatic to one firefighter may not be to another. Mm-hmm. Same thing is true with law enforcement, that they work by themselves. EMS services, 911 operators, you know, they drop off a patient. They don't know what happened to that patient, do they? So there's so many differences in the different services that we should be aware of as trauma-informed therapists. So, you know, I went on a ride-along with a fire department. That was eye-opening to me, you know, and understanding the political aspects of the different departments, all very, very important. Who they trust, who they don't trust, right?
Yeah, there's a lot to it, and I imagine you have heard a lot, you know, from your patients about, you know, things they've experienced on the job or experienced within their department. So how has it been a learning experience for you? What have first responders taught you?
Oh, well, they, number one, they taught me I don't know anything. Right? They've taught me to shut up and listen a lot. They have taught me that there are differences in the departments. There are differences in how a firefighter lives their lives and what they experience and what they go through. Simple things. I didn't know that firefighters pay for their own food. I didn't know that. You know, you would see them in the grocery store and you'd think, oh, that's on my dime. Well, no, it's not. It's on theirs. I didn't know that. Imagine a police officer is on a call and it's a dark road and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and there's a car up in front. They don't know who's in that car. And yet they have to get out and do their job. That's scary. Like I said, EMS, they drop a patient off in the emergency room and then they don't know what happens. 911 operators, the same thing. Oh my God.
Right.
I didn't know it. And there was an article in the Norwalk paper, and it had five screens in front of a 911 operator.
Right.
Imagine trying to keep straight five screens and that call. And again, they follow a call until they're done.
Yeah.
And then they don't know what happens to that person. So there are so many things that we need to understand about the different first responder communities, and only they can teach us.
Mm-hmm. I think the way you're highlighting that point is so important, Michael. And I know we've talked about it on this show, and we talk about it in the team. Mm-hmm. But all of those things you just listed are why someone who is a first responder really should be connected to a therapist who understands the culture.
And I think that's right.
Yeah, I think there are so many nuances, even just between the disciplines, police, fire, EMS, dispatch, animal control, corrections. We could add to that list every week now.
Couldn't you, though?
We could.
And the medical community. Oh, my God.
Exactly. No, and I feel like I'm constantly learning, just adding more groups to what we do. But it just says to me loud and clear that those people need people that understand the culture.
Otherwise, I think that's right.
They can't help them if they don't understand the structure and the morals and the history behind it and the politics and how all of those things are intertwined. Then they really probably can't offer the same level.
I think that's right. And if you don't know, ask.
Right.
Just shut up and ask, and then listen. You know, they've got a lot to teach us. And we just need to learn.
That's good old social work 101. Be where the client is.
Isn't it,
they
though?
Drill that into our head, right, Michael?
Right. They do. So I think what else have first responders taught me? I think that to know that there are differences in, certainly with the fire services in, and I think probably all of them in the different houses. There are personalities, there are conflicts that we need to understand. A firefighter that I'm working with in one house, he just doesn't get along with those people, but he does in another house. Mm-hmm. And so that's where he needs to be.
Right.
You know, so I think those are important things. And again, the politics, to understand that when they talk about betrayal, we need to listen and understand what that means. Betrayal, trauma, that maybe the hierarchy, the upper echelon of law enforcement, firefighters, or EMS services are, they don't trust them.
I know that first responders, being one and knowing them, I know that we're keenly aware of how quickly life can change and how it can all be taken away. And I was wondering, listening to you speaking, do you feel like that's something that you've changed your viewpoint on over time and working with our population?
You have a greater respect for your life. I think that's true. And I'm much more attuned to what's going on in my house. You know, do the smoke alarms work? By God, that kind of thing. I have an occasion to call 911, and firefighters showed up. And there were about six of them. Good God! And without them, I don't know what would have happened to my family member. And without their expertise and their ability to know that, okay, you know, you take this one, you know what's going on. And they did everything that was necessary for that individual and then got her to the emergency room in the hospital. I would, you know, I didn't know what to do, but they did. Thank God.
Fairfield County Trauma Response Team is a nonprofit alliance of mental health professionals dedicated to helping first responders heal from trauma, tragedy, and stress. We help as they manage community crises and the everyday demands of ensuring public health and safety. Established in 2011, FCTRT was formed in response to a call for emotional help from the Stamford Fire Department after a traumatic fatal fire. Less than a year later, the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting occurred, and members again served the first responder community. Most recently, COVID-19 created a need for our support. We provide free educational presentations, pro bono sessions to deal with community disasters, and an extensive referral service to trauma-informed psychotherapists. If you're a responder in Fairfield County and need help dealing with duty-related stress, please reach out to us so you can continue to do the job you love. Visit our website at fctrt.org or find us on Instagram at Fairfield County TRT.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your TED Talk, which is called The Cost of Courage, We Need to Pay Attention. And sometimes on this show, we've talked about the price that responders pay for doing the job. So in this context, on your TED Talk, what do you mean by the cost of courage and exactly what do we need to pay attention to?
Well, there are illnesses and problems that our first responder, the first responder community deals with, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, those kinds of things, marital problems, an increase in committing suicide. Those are real problems that we need to understand. That's the cost of courage. That's the cost of what they do, because they put aside themselves, their needs, to take care of us, to take care of the community, whether it's a car accident or a shooting or an illness of some kind. They put aside their needs and they work, oh my God, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I can call them. That's all the cost of courage. And what we know is that if they take care of themselves now, if they do what they need to do, they pay attention. And if we understand that, if they need to pay attention to what's going on for them, and if they do that, their time in their service and the time afterward, their retirement will be better. So I think it's understanding that there are costs and they are significant. You know, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, marital problems. God, if you don't pay attention to those things, they just get worse. Yeah. And you can't, and maybe I'm selfish. I think I am. They won't take good care of me, you know? So I want first responders to take care of themselves. And that includes if you need a therapist, it's okay. Go get help. You know, but and pay attention to yourselves. It's significant. And I, you know, it's interesting. After the Christmas fire and when the TRT was formed, we did a presentation for the newbies at one of the fire departments. And I asked them, what do you do with yourselves or for yourselves when you're struggling? And they gave me an address,
mm-hmm.
right?
And the local watering hole.
That's correct. It was the address of a bar. And in the back was a wise, older firefighter, a captain, who said, you know, I've been on the fire services for 25 years, and I can tell you that you will experience things that you didn't know about,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be hard for you, and you might need help. And that's okay. You know, thank God he was one of those people who could say, get help if you need it. That's okay.
Yeah, beautiful that they're getting that advice at the beginning of their career.
I think so as well.
Yeah, when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we recently did a debriefing at one of the fire departments, and it was tough because we did two different debriefings, at least my group did, and one of them, there were two firefighters who were pretty angry, and they polluted the entire room.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the second set of firefighters were much more responsive and involved, and it was different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how just that negativity can pollute people, especially early in their career.
So pay attention to who you're riding with, too, is also some good advice.
No kidding, isn't it?
Going back to your thoughts on trauma being treatable, and we know this, one of the main reasons that is possible to us is through EMDR, which we've talked a lot about on this show. Michael, you're a big proponent for EMDR, and so is our trauma team. I was wondering if you could touch briefly on EMDR, and how would a responder who's already been through EMDR know when it's time for a tune-up?
Okay. Well, first, EMDR stands for eye movement, desensitization, and that was what it was initially, EMD. And then Francine Shapiro realized, wait a minute, there's something changing, and that's the reprocessing. That's the R piece.
Mm-hmm.
So EMDR. So what do we know about EMDR is that our eyes flicker back and forth in REM sleep. And we're searching our brains for what happened. And frequently, if we allow the brain to do what it wants to do, and maybe you've already touched on this, if we allow the brain to do what it wants to do, it will process through it and heal that wound. But when there's a log jam, that's when you need to get help. And that's what we use EMDR. And what we know is that the brain wants to heal itself. And I know we talk about PTSD, but I think it's PTSI. It's an injury. And you can see that in the brain. If you do a PET scan, you can see the red. Right? You can see that injury. So, God, I forgot your question.
You know, to kind of add to the Bonnie's question, Michael, can you talk a little bit about some signs or symptoms when somebody might be clued in that they need a tune-up?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sure. Pay attention to, one, what you do as a first responder can be activating, traumatizing. So notice that. Pay attention to it. I have a colleague, Karen Lansing, called the Cop Whisperer, and she's embedded in the departments out in Northern California. And frequently she'll get calls and she'll say, Karen, I need a tune-up. And so what are they noticing? You know, they're more irritable. Maybe they're withdrawing more. Somebody may say to them, hey, what's going on, man? You're different. Pay attention to that. Are you drinking too much? Is your health suffering? Or how's your sleep? I know when Newtown happened and I was treating a police officer, my sleep was suffering. And I wasn't paying attention to it because I'm a guy, you know. And that was a bad idea. And so Karen Alterie got somebody on the floor in front of me, and they tapped my ankles. Mm. And I could get through the story about what I was working on and how I was doing. So you have to pay attention to yourself. I was not. Mm. So notice, are you sleeping well? Mm-hmm. Are you drinking too much? Are you withdrawn, more isolated? Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying the things that you used to enjoy? Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying your wife or your significant other or your children or your fishing or whatever it might be that you used to enjoy? Are you having a good time with that? If not, it may be time to reach out and get some help. And again, you reach out to peer support. If that doesn't work, we're here.
I would just add one piece to that too, is that if somebody starts to perseverate. Or ruminate, because I noticed that a lot with our responders is a call will happen and they replay that moment or everything leading up to it over and over and over. And part of that, I think, is the brain organically calling it up so that it is processed, which is what's distressing about it and which is why they will drink or do other things to try to get rid of the thoughts. But
there's a logjam.
Exactly. So to me, if you are perseverating or it's replaying like a movie over and over, that's when you know that the brain needs help.
That's right. That's correct. Yeah. Just pay attention. It's something different. Yeah. And if it is, it's okay to reach out and get some help.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't make sense to suck it up or deal with it. Yeah. Drink too much or, be angry. That doesn't make sense to me.
Let's talk a little bit about the trial of Alex Jones versus Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis. And those are the parents of Jesse Lewis, a young boy who was murdered in the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012. You testified there. And can you talk a little bit about the trauma that you were aware of, involved with in terms of that trial?
What was interesting is, obviously, it's traumatizing, just the image of, Neil held his son after that. And the medical examiner didn't know that, but he did. And then Alex Jones and his cohorts denied and called him an actor and said it didn't happen, it couldn't happen. And so it was re-traumatizing to both of them, again, that anybody would challenge that this happened, that Sandy Hook was a hoax and that they were actors. That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. So it sparked their need to protect and honor their son again. Right. And in fact, I don't think the trauma would go away or could go away until that was resolved. Mm. Right. In other words, they couldn't get back to living their lives until they had done what they needed to do to honor Jesse's memory. Mm. And the fact that he was, as far as we know, he was a hero. He said run and got kids out of that room, up to 9 kids out of that room. So that means there are kids today who are 16 years old that would not be here if it wasn't for him. So, no one wants, the loss of a child is always traumatic, isn't it? And the loss of a child in that way is clearly traumatic. There's a siren. You can hear it in the background, right?
Yeah. Michael, when you're talking about this, I can tell it's from your heart, and I think I could speak for all of us, but what you did was stand up for what was right for them and to allow them to have some portion of healing from their trauma.
Well, I hope so.
I think that's very admirable of you to do that. And to stand up for what you felt was right.
Thank you. I think any of us would have done that if we had worked with them and understood what they were going through. That's what therapists do. If we care about the people we work for.
And on that note, I have to say how important the work that you guys do is to first responders and keeping first responders able to do their job, able to do it longer and to stay healthy and, you know, happy and balanced. You cannot understate the importance of what trauma-informed therapists are doing to support first responders. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you guys all do.
Thank you. We all look for a purpose in our lives, and this certainly is one that I think all of us that are therapists can embrace. We want to take care of people and make their lives better. And it's, again, a little bit of a selfish shot. No, I want them there if I need them, but... right? I also want them to enjoy their time, both while they're working and afterwards as well.
Well, it's truly a gift, what you guys do. And as we're wrapping up, Michael, any final thoughts, or you want to share where people can find you out there in the world of the internet?
Sure. They can find me. They can call me at 203-961-1152. And they can always reach out to the Fairfield County Trauma Response Team. And that's our address on the internet, FCTRT, or Fairfield County Trauma Response Team. And we are starting to become statewide because people are reaching out to us. That's a good thing.
Yeah, on behalf of Bonnie and myself, Michael, I want to thank you for joining us on this episode, speaking about some very important topics having to do with trauma, EMDR, and the immense value of first responders to our society. So again, thank you for all you thank do you. To support first responders, and we appreciate you being on the show with us.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Thanks, Michael.
And I hope informative. You're welcome. Thank you.
Please like and subscribe, comment on YouTube, Responder Resilience, Facebook, we're at Responder Wellness Inc., bbsradio.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Our website is respondertv.com for all past episodes and guest info. Thanks for watching. Be safe. Be kind to yourself. Take care.